It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum number 74, the last one of this year. I hope you've had a good Christmas. And what I hope to do in the new year is do a review in advance of the year that is to come with some predictions and prophecies, if you like. But what I want to do in this one is look back at what I consider to be the top 10 stories of 2019, a year, an incredible year, and one which we've covered all of these stories. And we begin, first of all, with the person who's been described as Time, who is Time's magazine's Person of the Year, Greta Thunberg.
People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? For more than 30 years, the science has been crystal clear. How dare you continue to look away and come here saying that you're doing enough when the politics and solutions needed are still nowhere in sight? You say you hear us and that you understand the urgency. But no matter how sad and angry I am, I do not want to believe that. Because if you really understood the situation and still kept on failing to act, then you would be evil, and that I refuse to believe.
Well, what can we say? I think that Greta is a symbol. It's ridiculous the extent to which she's attacked, and it's ridiculous the extent to which she is lionized. She is not a prophetess. I suspect that most of her speeches are written for her by other people. And yes, there is a great deal of hypocrisy in, for example, taking a carbon neutral trip across to New York on a millionaire's yacht, but to save the flight, but forgetting to mention that the four crew flew back. But climate change is a massive issue. It's going to continue to be a massive issue. And I am recording this now from Australia, where we're now based at the end of this year. And I look out my window and I see the smoke. And there are people who are blaming the bushfires on climate change, which is, to say the least, somewhat simplistic. But I think of Greta's speech and this, how dare you? You have stolen my dreams. How dare you? And I think the thing that most worries me about all of this is the number of young people who are being driven to the point of mental illness by this dystopian view of the future and by this apocalyptic nonsense that's being fed into their heads. They are creating a world without hope, and they are being fed a world without hope. Isn't it ironic that it used to be Christians who were mocked for saying the end of the world is nigh? You know, people are suffering and dying, but an awful lot of people are going to suffer and die if the extreme Extinction Rebellion policies are put into practice. Now, this is a subject I'm sure that's going to come up again and again. And then, of course, 2019 was the year of Brexit, as it has been for the past few years, and the year of Boris. His extraordinary, and it was extraordinary, victory at the end of the year in the United Kingdom election pretty well guarantees that the United Kingdom will leave the European Union, though to what extent we'll remain tied to it still remains to be seen. But it really was an astonishing result. And I think Laura Kunzberg in this clip explains why.
I think first draft of history and all this, I think that people will look back and think, hang on a minute, people voted for something in 2016, and then lots of people in the political establishment in Westminster spent a lot of time trying to undo that. What? Right, I think, I mean, there's a...
Well, David Dimbleby himself says, famously on the night of the referendum, mm-hmm. we're out. He himself says, oh, I think people thought when I said that we would be out the next day.
Well, of course they did, because in the 2016 referendum campaign, politicians on both sides, including the then Prime Minister, stood on platforms and said things like, if you vote this way, this will happen. There will be no going back. This is not a vote where you get to have a second opinion. And lo and behold, now 3 years later, people are scratching their heads in the Labour Party saying, oh, do you think maybe it was a bit of a problem that we were trying to undo something that people voted for?
I have watched three times the complete results for the 2016 referendum. And the fact that politicians and I guess what we would just call the elite promised us that if we voted, it would be, again, a once in a lifetime, it would be respected, it would be enacted, and then have spent 3.5 years trying to prevent that being enacted, is quite atrocious. And I think explains why so many working class people, actually more working class people, voted for the Tories than voted for Labour. Really quite an astonishing end to the year. And then, of course, all year, the trans madness has continued. Virtually every week, the BBC has a new pro-trans programme. Here's a sample of one of the latest ones.
The real problem is hiding the beard shadow, because I've not gone for any of the facial hair removal as yet. Even after a clean shave, you can see the shadow there. I've got to wear makeup to cover that up. It's just that personalised touch to it, that this is designed for your face. Well, quite often you'll find someone will change their gendering of you when they've spoken to you. I had a cart full of boxes going to a charity shop and it fell over, and a gentleman kindly came over to help me, and it was love, and then it was mate. Before I'd spoken, it was love, and then after I'd spoken, it was mate. Well, passing obviously is...
Do you know, I grew up in a world where feminists argued that they wanted to do away with gender stereotypes, and I'm now living in a world where it is the politically correct position to want to have gender stereotypes, to the extent that if you're a man who wants to be a woman, then you're going to go to a school that trains you how to be more feminine, how to behave in more feminine ways. Do you know, if it was some redneck, right-wing American fundamentalist church that was training women how to be more feminine, what dresses to wear and so on, they'd be the object of ridicule. But now it's the trans movement. It's perfectly acceptable. It's so interesting, the change that has occurred, because I find myself increasingly on side with feminists like Julie Bindle or Maya Forrester, the woman whose case has just come up at the end of the year, in which she was in effect fired for saying that men cannot become women. I find myself with those who laugh at headlines such as appeared in an Australian newspaper, dozens of Australian men are now giving birth. No, they're not. Dozens of Australian men are not giving birth. Dozens of women who say that they are men are giving birth. Men don't give birth. And then there's, of course, things like the transgender person suing Nike for $1.1 million for misgendering. And that's why they has been called the word of the year. The sadness of this is exemplified by the case of the 12-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl and he wants a womb transplant so that he can be a mother someday. The fact that this is even seriously discussed indicates the level of insanity that our culture has come to. So it was the year of climate change and Australia burning and Greta's speech. It was the year of Brexit and Boris. It's the year of trans. And it's also been described as the year of woke. The wonderful Ian McWhirter, writing in The Herald, talks about the year of woke. Now what is woke? Let me just explain it. It is the idea that you've to be woken up to the racial prejudice. So this was in a black movement within the United States. But woke now has come to mean anything that's perceived to be progressive and trendy. So I want you to listen to this piece of music, and you'd think this is the last place you'd get woke. Listen to this. Okay, that's the Archers. I associate the Archers with my mother. For all of my life, I have heard or listened to the Archers. The Archers have been going on for, what, 60 years? It's the longest running soap opera radio show in the world. And The Archers is meant to be a tale of everyday folk. Well, I was reading this article by Trevor Archer, who used to be the head of, I think, the Equalities Commission. And he writes about the increasingly woke behaviour by the BBC, which is endangering the central justification for special treatment, i.e. the licence fee, which is its universal reach. And he gives us an example, The Archers. The recent preoccupation of The Archers, for example, domestic abuse and coercive control, historical child abuse and now rewilding and climate change, all have their place, but they do not sit at the centre of most people's lives. The BBC has to recognise social change, sure, but it's not the institution's role to lead it. Speculating about same-sex couples on Strictly, he gives us an example. Nobody needs Auntie to try on her niece's 6-inch stiletto heels. And I have to say, I have to completely agree with that. Every BBC programme, every drama now has to be diversified. Except it's not diverse. So, A Christmas Carol, for example, just come out on the BBC, Charles Dickens. Well, guess what? The Cratchits are mixed race. Of course they are, because that's what they were in Dickens' day. As someone pointed out, I'm just waiting for the trans ghosts. Well, all this wokeness does lead to certain things. It leads to woke corporations. It leads to people losing their jobs. And it leads to unjust sentencing. So, and again, one of the stories of the year, there was a man, Adolfo Martinez, age 30, of Iowa, who was sentenced to 15 years for the hate crime of arson, as well as for a year for the reckless use of explosives for fire and 30 days for harassment. What did he do? He took down an LGBTQ flag from a church and he set fire to it. He got 15 years for that. You don't get 15 years for murder. He got 15 years for burning an LGBTQ flag. Well, even Peter Tatchell. Of course, it was wrong for him to burn the flag, as Tatchell says. But even Tatchell said it was an excessive sentence. Story number five. It's the year of China as well. We can hear the sound of the riots in Hong Kong. That is an ongoing situation. There are human rights in China as well. The Uyghur Muslims, the Christians who are being persecuted and attacked. And I think that's exemplified by a story at the end of the year where a child opened a box of Christmas cards from Tesco and inside was a message from, which a six-year-old girl had opened, a message with a kitten wearing a Santa hat, with a message from a Chinese gulag worker. "We are foreign prisoners in Shanghai Qingpu Prison, China," the message read. "Forced to work against our will. Please help us and notify human rights organization." That one story for me summarizes so much of what's wrong with the world. Because it's a charity card, it's come from China, it's part of the corporates, and I do think that corporate capitalism works extremely well with corporate communism in China. And we just don't care. As long as we get cheap goods, who cares? Well, we should. We should care. We should care about what's going on in China. We should care about the persecution of Muslims and Christians. And we should care about what's happening in Hong Kong. Speaking of China, I guess that the other story of the year, particularly towards the end, has been the United States and President Trump. We've just heard that he's announced that there will be a trade deal with China, which is good news for the world economy. But whether President Trump is good news for the United States, that's still questionable. There's no doubt at all that there are some good things that have been done, some very good things that have been done. But listen to his latest speech.
An economy based on wind. I never understood wind, and I know windmills very much. I've studied it better than anybody. I know it's very expensive. They're made in China and Germany, mostly. Very few made here, almost none. But they're manufactured tremendous, if you're into this, tremendous fumes, gases are spewing into the atmosphere. You know, we have a world, right? So the world is tiny compared to the universe. So tremendous, tremendous amount of fumes and everything. You talk about the carbon footprint. Fumes are spewing into the air, right? Spewing. They're noisy. They kill the birds. You want to see a bird graveyard? You just go. Take a look. A bird graveyard? Go under a windmill someday. You'll see more birds than you've ever seen ever in your life. You know, in California, they were killing the bald eagle. If you shoot a bald eagle, they want to put you in jail for 10 years. A windmill will kill many bald eagles. It's true. And you know what? After a certain number, they make you turn the windmill off. That's true, by the way. They make you turn it off after you. And yet, if you killed one, they put you in jail. That's okay. But why is it okay for these windmills to destroy the...
No, I'm sorry. But I have a man like that, with that lack of intelligence, with that arrogance, in charge of the most powerful nation in the world. It does make me concerned. And I share the concern of the editors of Christian Today, who have been lambasted by many evangelicals for saying that Donald Trump deserves to be impeached. And that is the story, of course, that's going to be ongoing. Should he be impeached for colluding or asking Ukraine to interfere in American politics? Probably, to be honest. But is he going to be? Almost certainly not. And is it the right thing to do at this time? Probably not. And is there a better alternative? Probably not. I fear for America. But I think another story, that was story number 6. Story number 7 is the persecution of Christians that continues throughout the world, but especially in Africa and especially in Nigeria. I put a link to an article which talks about the ongoing massacre and genocide against Nigerian Christians by the Fulani, 15 million Muslim tribespeople in the north of Nigeria. To quote from the article, a slow-motion war is underway in Africa's most populous country. It's a massacre of Christians, massive in scale and horrific in brutality, and the world has hardly noticed. Have you heard of the Fulani? Asked one Nigerian Pentecostal worker. He talked about and gave examples of different massacres. You know, when I mentioned this recently, somebody said, yes, but what about Christian terrorist groups? Well, I'm not sure there are any. The Lord's Resistance Army, for example, in Uganda, is not Christian at all. Oh, well, but the Fulani are not really Muslim. Oh, yes, they are. They very, very much are. And we keep turning a blind eye to this. What else? Well, another story. And by the way, if you want the good news aspect of Africa, it's that so many more people are becoming Christians. It doesn't matter the massacres against them. And I do think the story of the growth of the church in China and in Africa is just one of those wonderful good news stories. Meanwhile, back in Europe, we have this going on in France.
You've probably seen the images. Crowds of protesters in France all wearing these yellow high visibility jackets. The protests, originally over planned fuel tax rises, began back in November 2018 and involved blockading highways across rural parts of the country.
Since then, hundreds of thousands of demonstrators have mobilized against the government.
Central Paris saw millions of dollars in damage and its most violent protest in a decade, something authorities attribute to the movement's more radical factions.
In response, France's president Emmanuel Macron has scrapped the fuel tax hike and many of his other proposed economic reforms.
But the protests haven't stopped. In fact, the Gilets Jaunes, or Yellow Vest movement, is now spreading across Europe.
That is a massive story. it seems hardly to be covered in the BBC and in the United States as well. But we've basically had a year of riots in France, and if anything, it's intensified over the Christmas period. I will never forget a conversation I had with a French woman here in Australia who just said to me, I left, and she lived in the south of France, and she loved it, and she said, I just left because of the violence. Watch what's going on there. And speaking of France comes a very sad story. In April of this year, where Notre Dame burned. I think that's indicative of the physical burning, if you like, of a church. It's indicative of a lot of what's going on in the church. Mentioned already that we're seeing growth in different places, including China, including Africa, including Iran, including some places in the West. But we're also seeing the church in the West destroying itself. So the new Archbishop of York, for example, who's just being appointed, is a man who forced people out of the church because they did not support same-sex marriage. In other words, he goes against the church's and the Bible's teaching, and yet he's been put in a position of power. I think of Pope Francis, whose statements seem increasingly bizarre. Or American evangelicals who are getting themselves caught up in a civil war about Donald Trump, whether they support or are against him. Or the case in the Western world, particularly in America, but also here in Australia in Hillsong and also in the United Kingdom, of evangelical or prominent evangelicals renouncing their faith. Well, I do think there is a crisis of discipleship in the Western church. But the Lord will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So let me finish with a couple of things. First of all, my story of the year is this wonderful story of a flight attendant who tells us how a young passenger who was booked on a first-class flight from New York to London made an elderly woman's dream come true by giving her his seat. There was a woman called Leah Amy who worked for Virgin Atlantic, and she told this story. And she talked about how this young man called Jack swapped his seat with 88-year-old Violet. Violet, who is a retired nurse, was traveling to London to visit her daughter. Amy explained this. Jack and his family purchased seats in our upper-class cabin for a flight home, but when he got on board, Jack went and found Violet in economy and swapped seats with her. I just love that story. I love that simple act of kindness. I think it's a great message for us. All right. You know what Quantum is about? We're trying to be like 1 Chronicles 12:32, the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. We'll come back in the new year or for the new with a look ahead. That was our look back. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm going to leave you with the I think my song of the year. It's just some boys from the island of Lewis who are called Pete and Diesel, who are just, you know, this, they're just such good fun, that's all. And I love the fact that they're local to that island. I love the fact they've retained their own music and mixed it with other stuff. I love the fact that they're, you know, an electrician and a fisherman and a lorry driver, I think, who are just having great fun making music. And I hope that you have, hope you had a great Christmas. I hope you have a great new year. And I pray that in the midst of all that's going on in the world, you will know the joy and peace and presence of the Lord. God bless you.
Accordions and spoons, that's the way we like our tune. 5 o'clock till 3 a.m. That's the way it's always been. Guitars, accordions and spoons, that's the way we like our tune. 5 o'clock till 3 a.m. That's the